Christians are rightly offended by the widespread commercialism, greed, drunkenness, and even immorality that is so prevalent during the Christmas season. It just seems to be the exact opposite of what it should be. And yet even Christians get sidetracked. We get drawn more and more into sentimentality, gift-giving, sending and receiving cards. And nothing is necessarily wrong with those. I enjoy sending and receiving cards. I watch some old Christmas movies like some of you do. But even that is not the main thing. Sentimentality is not the main thing. Spirituality should be the right attitude. So tonight, I thought I'd look at a few Bible verses from the Christmas story in Matthew and especially in Luke that will guide us to think about Christmas in the correct way so that we might meditate upon these truths and ponder Jesus correctly in our hearts. First, I'd like to look at a few of the examples that we find, both good and bad. First, there's Zacharias, a relative of Jesus. And in Luke 1, the angel came and made the announcement that elderly Zacharias and his wife Elizabeth would have a child, and that child would be the forerunner of the Lord Jesus, the Messiah. Well, Zacharias doubted if that could happen. He says, I'm beyond childbearing age. So he says, how can these things be? He didn't believe, so he doubted. And so the angel said, because you doubted, you're going to be silent for a period of time. You won't be able to talk. The lesson is, he needed to believe before he spoke. So now the angel is reversing and says, you're going to be quiet until you believe, then you will speak a word of faith. He was silenced, and the lesson for us is, brethren, we too need to be quiet to some of the things in the world at this time of the year so that we might truly ponder Jesus in silence. Sometimes the best part of our spiritual life is when we're absolutely quiet before God. Then there is his wife Elizabeth. She believed the angel, unlike Sarah in the Old Testament that was beyond childbearing years and laughed. Elizabeth believed and conceived, so she's a good example. And then later she spoke with Mary, her cousin. Lesson there is Zacharias and Elizabeth, though they were married and basically godly, one slipped into doubt and the other one increased in faith. Lesson is sometimes in a family, husband and wife. One can be more spiritual than the other. One can believe and the other one only doubt. The believing one should lift up the doubting one, and the doubting one should not pull down the believing one. Then there's Joseph, Matthew 1:20, where the angel came and said, take Mary as your betrothed wife. That which is conceived in her is by the Holy Spirit. Well, that was total news to Joseph. He had already been worrying about Mary. So it says, while he thought about these things. Just put yourself in his shoes. By the Holy Spirit. That has never happened. What do you mean? How? He was bewildered. But unlike Zacharias, who couldn't understand it and doubted, Joseph is a good example. His faith went beyond his understanding, and though he was bewildered, yet he believed and obeyed, and he took Mary as his wife, and in the fullness of time, Jesus was born. Then we find Joseph and Mary together. Imagine after they both had heard the angel separately make the same announcement, and they believed. Imagine their conversation when they got together next time. Mary, I have something important to say. No, no, Joseph, I've got to tell you first. I saw an angel. Well, so did I, probably the same angel. Imagine them talking together about this, and it increased their faith and perhaps gave them both more understanding. And then later, after Jesus was born, when Joseph and Mary dedicated Jesus in the temple, Luke 2:33 says, Joseph and Mary marveled at those things which were spoken of him. Things that were spoken about that Jesus now echoed back to them, and they marveled together. Husbands and wives should talk about Jesus. By the way, they marveled. We should never cease being amazed at the Christmas story. It's an ocean of profundity. We never fully grasp it, but often we begin to take it for granted. We hear the Christmas story read. We hear the same carol sung, and we often say, well, I need a little bit more pizzazz, something new, something to tickle my ears. No, no, no. We should be amazed by it with a childlike attitude. A little child is amazed at almost anything. They see a bug crawling, a bird flying, and they look at that with wonder. And then they grow up and see more things, and then after a while, they're no longer moved by wonder at mundane things. They want some gizmo or something, some new kind of music. We shouldn't outgrow the amazement of the truth of God becoming a man in the Lord Jesus Christ. Joseph and Mary together talked and marveled. Husbands and wives should get together, especially on Christmas Eve and Christmas Day. Dating couples, you and your friend, you parents and your children, take time to ponder the Christmas story. And don't just look at the tree and the gifts and the cards and the old Hollywood movies, but take time to ponder the profundity of Christmas. Then we find the example of others. When Zacharias was struck mute, word got out, and then when the angel allowed him to talk, when he did believe, and he began to speak, it says the people there wondered at this. It says fear came on all who dwelt around them, and all these sayings were discussed throughout all the hill country of Judea, and those who heard kept them in their hearts. Word spread, and everybody was talking about it, and they pondered it in their hearts. Oh, that that would be said of Springfield, Illinois, the state of Illinois, and all of the United States. People would be talking about it. Then there were those that the shepherds spoke to. When the shepherds came and they saw the baby Jesus, Luke's gospel says they went knocking on doors at night and telling people, hey, 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 Messiah's here. And they began to explain the visit of the angels and what little they knew. And it says this, Luke 2:18, all who heard it marveled at those things which were told them by the shepherds. Let us go and tell other people with a sense of holy wonder and invite them into the hallway of holy wonder and say, consider these things. Challenge them and say, it's not about Santa Claus and reindeer and tinsel. It's about God becoming a man. Even challenge some unbelievers and say, have you ever seriously considered this just might be true? And if it is true, that was the most important event since the day of creation. And you dare not ignore that. Invite them and show them by your attitude that you have pondered it. So the shepherds went and told people. There is a time to be silent and ponder, but there's also a time to speak to people about these things. And then we come to the best example, Mary. In Luke 1:29, when the angel made the announcement, you are greatly favored by God, she wondered, who, me? I'm just another Jewish teenage girl. And it says this, she was troubled at his saying and considered what manner of greeting this was. She couldn't understand it. She was a little afraid, troubled, upset. She had never seen an angel. We've never seen angels. Angels are not Cupid-like little beings. They're very strong, powerful, and authoritative. And when that angel showed up and said, "Mary, you are highly blessed by God, and you will have a child by the Holy Spirit," of course she was troubled. And then in verse 34, she says to the angel, "How can this be?" Same question that Zacharias asked. How can this happen? But notice the contrast. Zechariah's doubt turned to unbelief. Her lack of understanding was increased by her faith. Good example for us. We don't fully understand it. The greatest theologians that have ever lived have never gone to the bottom of it and searched it all out. But Mary did believe. And then in chapter 2, verse 19, and it says, when the shepherds spoke to other people about these things and everybody was talking about it, it says, but Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. Now that's the example for us tonight. We should keep these things in faith and ponder them deep within our heart. Look at the word pondered. It's been variously translated as deeply thought about them, turn them over in her mind, or often thought about them. To ponder means to meditate, to contemplate, to concentrate, think deeply about, to muse on, to ruminate, to digest, to chew it over, to reflect, to deliberate, or to just simply mull it over in your mind and in your heart. She wondered about this. She didn't jump to a conclusion. She says, I need to think about this and chew it over. Not just in her mind, but in her heart. A good example for us. And she did this deeply, not in a shallow way. Most people today, if you take a clipboard, go to the mall or knock on doors and ask them what's the meaning of Christmas, they may give you answers like, well, love or family time. But they often leave Jesus out completely. Remember a cartoon I saw when I was a brand new Christian, and it was a scene of some children sitting around the Christmas tree on Christmas morning, and they had opened their presents, and somebody had put on a card there, "Happy birthday." And one of the children said, "Whose birthday is it today?" They had never learned that it was Jesus' birthday. It was just for them presents in a tree. But that's like people today. Even if they talk about Jesus, it's usually shallow and sentimental rather than deep and spiritual. Let's examine our own hearts. Philippians 4:8 says, think on these things. We should think about the things of God. Luke 9:44, Jesus spoke to the apostles and said, let these words sink down deep in your ears and through your ears into your heart. Think deep about them. Let them sink deep into your heart. Now, during the Christmas season is the best time of the year to do this. Spend Christmas Day with your family. But I encourage you, take some time tomorrow, as we are doing tonight, to ponder these things in your heart. Gather the children together and say, children, hope you enjoy the presents before we have the lunch. We're going to now think deeply about Jesus. Now, the younger the children are, the more you have to put it in their language. But if you parents learn this lesson, children can ask some of the best questions of all, the big questions that sometimes surprise the parents. And parents need to interact with them and learn how to put the great thoughts and truths into simple language. You'd be surprised how easily a child can grasp it when you put it in simple concepts like God made us, and yet God became a human being like us, the baby in the manger. Take time to speak with them tomorrow. We sing a hymn, Take Time to Be Holy. And a couple of months ago, I preached a sermon here, Get Alone with God. Turn off the television, the music, any distraction, put your cell phones and laptops and tablets on hold, and just take time to ponder the real meaning of Christmas. God became a man. Go deep. We need to have a holy curiosity about these things. Now, here we have some other examples. 1 Peter 1, 10 to 12 says, the angels long to look into this about Jesus. It also says the prophets in the Old Testament that predicted the coming of Jesus also looked from afar trying to understand it. So again, we have the good example of the angels and the Old Testament prophets having a holy curiosity. Now, we know what curiosity is. You wonder what's in that present under the tree for you. You wonder, are you going to get a Christmas bonus or not? We need to have a holy curiosity about Jesus. Go deeper than the Christmas cards and the hymns and say, what does it really mean? Even the angels are looking into this. They are far more intelligent than we are, but they too have never figured it all out. They know the Bible. The prophets helped write the Bible. So we need to look at the Bible. See what it says about Christ's birth. Go to Matthew 1 and Matthew 2, Luke 1 and 2, and a few other places. Read it over and say, well, I've read this 100 times. Look at it with new eyes. Ponder it afresh for new depths, like the angels and the prophets. Do it with an eager heart, not just as a duty. Book of Job says, when we look at the word of God, we should be like a miner that's eagerly digging in the ground for silver. Now, of course, if he's found a little bit of it, he's going to dig more and more and say, Eureka, I found it. And he's going to... We need to look at the word of God like that every time we study it. Why not on this most important subject? Dig into the word of God like it's a mine of silver and gold and diamonds and rubies. We should also have a holy hunger and thirst. It could be said that our mind is the mouth of our soul. So we study it with the mind, we swallow and digest it by faith, and we find that it feeds our hungry souls, and we want more. And it's not just a curiosity about where did the Christmas customs come from? Why do we have poinsettia flowers at this time of the year? What's the meaning of the Christmas tree, the manger? People will say, what in the world is a manger anyway? St. Nicholas, was he a real person that gave rise to the myth of Santa Claus? People discuss these. Or even the wise men and the star that we looked at on Sunday. Those are all peripheral. Our holy curiosity should be centered on Jesus, who he is. How could God become a man? This was what Mary pondered deeply in her heart. A holy curiosity and a holy wonder. There's a hymn, I wonder as I wander. And it goes on to say how Jesus could be God, become a man. We should wonder about that. Ponder and wonder and worship. Luke 2:19 also says Mary kept these things in her heart. The word there means to hold on to something is very valuable. Like a miser, like old Scrooge holding on to his treasure chest filled with gold coins. He'd hold on to it. We should ponder and treasure the gold words of God about the Son of God. Keep these things, not lose them or discard them or disvalue them as many people do. Now, you'll notice in the readings we did, it kept saying these things. Mary pondered these things. What things? The words from the angels, the words of the shepherds, and the words of the Holy Bible. But more than that, brethren, as important as Bible study is, that is meant to be simply the stepping stone to something more important. What's more important than Bible study? Bible study is when we study the Word of God in our mind, but the next step then is to meditate upon God and love Him more and worship Him more. This is fuel, this is food for our souls to move us closer to God. In other words, they pondered what the angel said about Jesus. That should move us to not only ponder those words, but to ponder Jesus personally. Not just up here in the mind, but down here in the heart. Picture Mary there, her newborn baby, holding Jesus in her arms, knowing that the angel had said 9 months earlier, that which is conceived in you is by the Holy Spirit. That holy thing shall be called the Son of God. Luke 1:35. Imagine Mary holding that and saying, this is a sinless baby. I am still a virgin. This is a virgin born baby. This is the Son of God. This is God in the flesh. Brethren, this is the heart of the Christmas story that we need to ponder afresh every year. Look at those three things. The wonderful truth that Jesus, that baby, was absolutely sinless. We have never seen a sinless baby. All babies since Adam and Eve sinned have been born in sin. Oh, they may look cute and cuddly, but they are born with original sin, not Jesus. So ponder then, again, Mary and Joseph, who knew what sin was like. Every time they looked in the mirror or checked out their memories, they said, we have been all around sin, not this baby. How can it be a sinless person in history? Have you pondered that? Jesus was a perfect man. He never sinned, not only in thought, word, or deed, but in nature. He could not sin. Ponder that. But then secondly, the wonderful, glorious truth of the virgin birth. And of course, Mary was first in line to ponder this. She knew she had never had relations. She knew she was still a virgin. And yet she had given birth. For 9 months she had wondered, how can this be? Now she sees the baby and she ponders the virgin birth. Mary wondered about this. Joseph wondered about this. Have you wondered about it? Have you pondered that question that Mary asked? How can this be? And the angel said, well, it's a miracle of the Holy Spirit. Nothing is impossible to God, Mary. But the angel didn't give more of the details. How God, who is spirit, can become physical through a woman who is a sinner without the help of a father. The father is God, not Joseph. And in that miracle of the virgin birth, the baby is now the God-man without sin. How could that be? First and only time in all human history. And then that leads us to the greatest truth about this, the incarnation. How could God become the God-man? Have you pondered that? Or do you simply take it for granted? You debate the Jehovah's Witnesses that say Jesus was an angel to become a man. And you say, you're a liar. He's God become a man. But do you realize the significance of that? Do you know the verse, 1 Timothy 3:16? Without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifested in the flesh. A deep mystery, only partially revealed. God manifested in the flesh. Do you ever ponder that? Do you ever ponder it in your heart? That this Jesus that you know personally was born of a virgin without sin, and he is God and man. Not 50% God, 50% man. He's all God and all man. How can that be? All analogies break down. There are no perfect parallels. Do you really ponder that at Christmas? I invite you, I challenge you, and in God's name, I dare you, ponder afresh the incarnation of Jesus Christ. And as we look at these great truths and ponder them, it affects our soul together with that holy curiosity. Remember when I was a boy, our family took a trip out west and we went to see the Grand Canyon. Some of you know the feeling when you get to the Grand Canyon. You say, yeah, what's the Grand Canyon? Big hole in the ground. And then you get there and you look down. It's a mile deep. And you feel that funny feeling in your knees and in your stomach. Wow. And you throw a pebble down and it takes so many seconds before it hits the ground. It's an awesome feeling. We should have that spiritual feeling as we ponder these truths that are deeper than the Grand Canyon. It's like a bottomless, infinite pit of profundity and spiritual truth, and worthy of our deepest, profound thoughts. Notice it says, Luke 2:19, Mary pondered them in her heart. 12 years later, when they came to the temple with Jesus and they left him and came back, Luke 2:51 says, his mother kept all these things in her heart. Now, for some people, they don't even want to think about Jesus in their mind, let alone with their heart. But some Christians, it's just the mind. Now, I'm a theologian. I love to read deep theology. But even more so, I love to ponder these things, like Mary, in my heart. The Bible encourages us to do that. 1 Samuel 21:12, David took these things to heart. Proverbs 4:4, let your heart retain my words. Psalm 119:11, thy word have I hid in my heart. The heart. I've been a Christian for 48 years now. And brethren, the older I get, and the more I follow the Lord Jesus, and the more I study the Bible, the more I see the importance of the heart. The heart of the matter is the matter of the heart. God looks at the heart. And that's where God wants us to ponder these things and to ponder Jesus personally in the heart. The heart is deeper than the mind. It's the center of affections and emotions. And it's often deeper than the words we can express with our mouth or the thoughts we can think about in our mind. You know what I mean. You feel something and you say, I can't describe it. It's indescribable. Even so with Jesus, when you study what it says about him. The heart is especially the place where we desire what is most important to us. It affects our emotions and our lifestyle. When we ponder these truths about Jesus and the Jesus about whom these truths speak, it finds root deep within our heart and produces something in us that is wonderful. Wonderful, full of wonder. What we desire the most, when we ponder that most, brethren, it has almost a magical transforming power in our hearts when we see the truth of these things and it goes deep in our heart, it begins to move our heart. We want to know more. We want to love Jesus more. It produces love. Pondering Christ will produce a greater sense of God's love for you and a greater love from you to Christ. That's why it's so important. Can you just see it in Mary's face? Looking at her baby, not just as a regular mother with her baby, but to saying, this is my baby. This is the Son of God. I am holding here. Can you just sense the love pouring out of her heart from God into her heart for that baby? We are not Mary, but she is our example in this. Let's imitate her by pondering these things, and especially pondering Jesus Christ from the heart. Ponder this. Mary had carried this Jesus for 9 months in her womb. Now she holds this Jesus in her arms. But all this time, she was holding Jesus in her heart. We wish we could see Jesus with our eyes. We will one day. We wish we could hold him. Don't you wish you could have held the Lord Jesus Christ? But brethren, we can experience what Mary did when she pondered Jesus in her heart. Let us hold Jesus deep within our heart. and let us ponder him. Let us wonder about him. And most of all, let us worship him with adoring love. And that's the proper attitude for Christmas. Shall we pray? Father, may your Holy Spirit generate this holy attitude within us, a holy curiosity and hunger, a sense of believing amazement, a sense of pondering the profound truth about the sinlessness of Jesus, the virgin birth of Jesus, the incarnation of God becoming the God-man. May the Holy Spirit move us deeply to ponder these things and to ponder Jesus. For it is in his name we pray. Amen.